Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper, with my co-host, Kirsten Milliken. Kirsten, how are you?
I'm doing great this evening. How are you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing spectacular. Today is October the 17th in the year 2012 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And, Kirsten, it is ADHD Awareness Week.
Hey, you know where we are.
That's right. We're here, and we have a great show tonight. The theme this year for ADHD Awareness Week is the many faces of ADHD. Only tonight we're going to kind of cover that, but we're going to talk about the one ink spot that kind of stands out. And with us in our virtual studio is Evelyn Polk Green. So let's hear it for Evelyn. Yay! I want to get into the meaning of this in a second, but real quickly, if you're listening to the show, the CHAD conference is literally like 3 weeks away. Kirsten and I are going to be there. Come up and see us. Say hi if you're going to be at the conference. And we're working with CHAD on a few little surprises. If you're sitting in any of the breakout groups, come see us in the back. We might want to talk to you and give you 15 seconds of fame. Who knows? Right, Kirsten?
Absolutely. I want to talk to everybody.
reminder, everybody, you can access our shows by going to attentiontalkradio.com. You also can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio. And also, Kirsten's kind of heading up Attention Talk News. You want to just really briefly tell everybody what Attention Talk News is about?
Yep, Attention Talk News. We'll give you some information about some of the shows that are in our archives, as well as some of the upcoming shows. And this is put out twice a month. And in addition to what's going on Attention Talk Radio, there's also a guest writer who has a piece in the I'm doing a good job of talking tonight.
In the contributor section. Mm-hmm.
And then there's also a little mind teaser kind of thing to see what you're paying attention to and if you can figure out the brain teaser. As well as some other information. So if it's something that you're already subscribed to, great. If it's not, go on to the Facebook page that Jeff just mentioned and we'll be mentioning again and click to subscribe to this so that you can get that, and it's only twice a month. So.
Yep, it's only twice a month. It's chock full of information. Also, if you search for Attention Talk News, it's going to take you to our Facebook page and give you a place to sign up. And Kirsten's doing a great job. She's integrating videos. The attention teasers are fun because I think they really illustrate how what's obvious is a function of what you're paying attention to, and it'll kind of do that stuff, and you'll start to realize that sometimes you need to back up and think outside the box. So that's real exciting. Also, I'm continuing to work on Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station. We've got some technical glitches we're getting over, but if we can do that, we're actually going to launch a talk show on YouTube, which is interesting. When I say talk show, I do mean that two people talk and you see their faces from different states. So we've got that again. CHAD conference is around the corner in San Francisco, November 8th to the 10th. If you haven't signed up, go to chadd.org. And with that, Kirsten, I think we're out of announcements, right?
I hope so.
Let's get into the fun part. Why don't you introduce Evelyn for us?
I am. I can hear Evelyn chomping at the bit. Evelyn Polk Green is she's currently the president of ADDA, which is the Attention Deficit Disorder Association. She's an adult with ADHD and the mother of two adult sons who also are diagnosed with ADHD. She is a leader for the ADHD Allies Adult ADHD Facebook community and a member of the Network on Children's Mental Health Services. She also serves as an advisory board member and a consultant on a number of mental health research and service initiatives. She is the past president of Children and Adults with Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, which is CHAD. And she's most proud of the fact that Beacon College honored her with the Achieving Lifetime Vision and Excellence Award for her advocacy work on behalf of children and adults with learning differences and ADHD. In addition to this, she's involved in the Chicago school system and a number of other ways, focusing obviously a lot of her attention on working with families and individuals with ADHD. Quite an amazing woman, Evelyn. I know I got to hear you speak this past year. It's impressive. So I'm so glad to have you with us tonight.
Well, thanks. I'm delighted to be here.
Now, this is
anytime I can talk about ADHD, it's a good thing.
Well, this is fun because you celebrated a year ago during ADHD Awareness Week. You came and we ran a pre-recorded show with Michelle Novotny talking about the bringing about of ADHD Awareness Week, which you were very much a part of the supportive effort for that to take place. And we had a little reunion afterwards. And now to have you a year later, it's really an honor, Evelyn.
Well, thank you very much.
Which kind of leads into this year, the theme of ADHD Awareness Week, kind of across the platform, is the many faces of ADHD. And honored to have you on. I saw you speak at the ADHD Coaches Organization in Atlanta. You've been involved with highly involved with Chad, Ada, and the Chicago kind of school system from ADHD. And I think the title of the show really speaks to one of the topics I wanted to bring out, and that is the experience that you had when you went to your first CHAD conference and a friend walked in into a room and looked over it and you said, you must feel like an ink spot. Can you tell us about that experience a little bit?
Oh, sure. It was my first national CHAD conference. We had just recently, as in months maybe, started this chapter, our CHAD chapter here that we got going in the city of Chicago. And I'm emphasizing city because it wasn't in the suburbs, which is where I was encouraged to go to the many, we had multiple CHAD chapters in the suburbs at that time, but nothing in the city, nothing to service, kids and families of color who were poor or whatever. And my son's doctor, after years, finally convinced me to do it. So anyway, it was my the vice president of the chapter and I walked into the huge room where they do the keynotes and looked around and it was me. I was the only person of color in the room.
I've been at this last couple years. There's a couple hundred people in this room, right?
Well, let me just say, this was Chad's national conference, and this was back in the heyday. I want to say there were probably 4,000 to 5,000 people in that room.
Wow.
It was huge. Yeah, this was like back when they were really big conferences. I'd have to say it was probably 4,000 people. That's at the time when we had 4,000 to 5,000 to 6,000 people attending conferences. So.
Wow. So, Kirsten, as a psychologist, does ADHD discriminate among races or ethnicities?
Absolutely not. It does not. I would say that, well, there are many people who, across different ethnicities that have ADHD, more often I see a disparate number of people of other ethnicities in treatment or receiving attention for their troubles. More often they're identified as having other problems rather than ADHD. So,
but I guess my question really is ADHD doesn't discriminate. It's prevalent like everywhere. Is that accurate?
In my opinion, absolutely.
So
yeah, I call it the equal opportunity disorder. Because it crosses all, racial, ethnic, social, economic, every kind of line there is.
So it doesn't discriminate. So I got to tell you, Evelyn, when I hear the story about you going to a CHAD conference, there'd be thousands of people room in an ink spot, I hold you up. You're like an ADHD hero.
Well, I don't feel very heroic. What I feel mostly is tired I'm doing this. But I have to say, and I don't want to, give the impression this is just me. I got into this because my kids. I was diagnosed because my kids were diagnosed, my oldest son, and that's when I soon after got my diagnosis. And between what I saw going on in the school system and the things that the more I read and learned, I just thought that, and after doing things like attending a CHAD conference, and my first experience with actually opening our CHAD chapter was not a good one. There was some racial things that went on about me even opening a chapter in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not ashamed, and I don't feel bad about saying that because CHAD has grown so much since then, and it's such a different organization. But at the time, it actually took me a number of years because I was pretty angry about the initial kind of reaction I got. Actually, a CHAD chapter leader from a different one of the suburban chapters actually said to me, well, kids in the city don't really have ADHD. They have social emotional disorders. And I was like, excuse me?
Wow.
Yeah. So, we've come quite a long way. And needless to say, I was the first, our chapter was actually, and I don't know this to be absolutely true, but in my experience and from what I've known of history and what was happening when we started it, our chapter was the first one that was multi-ethnic, that, you know, we made great pains to make sure that we met in a place. You know, I live in a city that's very segregated. We have lots of gang issues and those kind of things. People are scared to go to neighborhoods they don't know. So we made sure we did this in a neighborhood where everyone was comfortable coming, where there was access to public transportation. And I wanted to make sure that our chapter looked like what ADHD really looks like, not necessarily what Chad looked like at the time, or Ada, or, you know, the classrooms where kids were identified with ADHD. And so it has been quite the journey, but I do it because because it is an equal opportunity disorder, and I see so many kids and families destroyed because either they're diagnosed with something else or they're not diagnosed at all, and the frustrations of living with ADHD, these bright children who, you know, lives are destroyed, whose families are, you know, at wit's end and don't know what to do, of all, you know, ethnicities, but particularly in the Black community. And we have so much extra stuff to deal with, the stigma that goes on in the African-American and Hispanic and, you know, communities of color around mental health issues in general and education, you know, issues in general and those kind of things. So it's something that has to be done. I have to tell you, my ex-husband, who was, you know, had some issues of his own, but in all of his craziness, even he said to me when they asked me to join the CHAD board, I really didn't want to do it. I was perfectly happy running my lovely little Chicago area chapter, and the president at the time, he was president-elect at the time, Matt Cohen, as an attorney who's also from Chicago, really kind of pulled me in, and Mary Robertson, who was president at the time, both of them really pulled me in and had a vision for CHAD not being such a pale organization and having some other folks in, and they both pulled me in and were so genuine about what they wanted to happen. And I still didn't want to do it. And my husband was like, it took them 20 years to ask one Black person to be on the board. Really? You're going to say no?
But
I kind of couldn't say no after that.
Yeah, I want to come back after our break here in a second and talk about, you know, ADHD doesn't discriminate, but access kind of does. But while we're on the CHAD board, when we were getting ready for this, we were talking about something that really kind of moved me. And you talked about when you kind of came on the CHAD board, and forgive me, just I'm not sure I'm going to represent this, but you were all full of piss and vinegar, kind of ready to go and kind of fired up to try to do some stuff. And if I recall, if I understand it right, CHAD came to you and said, hey, hang on a second. You're here, but our job is to make people comfortable to come to the ADHD community. Am I misrepresenting that?
That's it pretty much in a nutshell. It wasn't right at the beginning of my experience at the CHAD board, but after I'd been on a year or so, we had a new CEO, and one of the things we really wanted to do was to try to become more culturally competent, and he had lots of experience in that area. And he was the one that really said, and the person that he brought in to help us with that were kind of the ones that said, Ellen, you have to step back. It's, you know, you can say it, but it, coming out of your mouth, it means nothing. We have to make it a place where everybody is comfortable and wants to be. So, yeah, that's it pretty much in a nutshell.
But
you know, the support of the board, and it was not, I don't want to make it sound like it was all, you know, roses, because it wasn't. We had some difficult times. There were a couple times when I was going to walk out and not ready to go, but overall, the support that I got from the board and the support that we got and the board's really wanting to make this happen and to make us an organization that was willing to be there for all people with ADHD.
Well, to me, what was so powerful is, Evelyn, you have to step back. We have a duty to make these people, everybody feel comfortable coming. We need to make this an environment where people embrace. To me, that is just such a powerful statement, because it's not, you're not on this on their own. We're all on this together, and you're here, but we have to do our job here. And that just, to me, was just, it just spoke volumes.
Yeah, it does. It did, and it was the reason that I stayed around, because that was the sentiment from the vast majority of board members and chapter leaders that I worked with, who got it. And as I said, you know, it wasn't easy, and not everybody came along, and some people came along kicking and screaming, but the organization had that vision and made it happen. So,
absolutely. Well, we need to run to a break real quick, but before we do, Evelyn, you're still president of the Attention Deficit Disorder Association, correct?
Yes.
And for information on that, you can go to add.org, and CHAD, Attitude Magazine, the ACO, and CHAD Attitude Magazine, the ACO, and Attention Deficit Disorder Association, they're all a part of what really kind of pulls together ADHD Awareness Week. Am I missing somebody in that?
No, that's it. That's the groups form a coalition, a broad coalition that kind of, it's a planning body. We don't really do activities, but we just kind of make sure that it gets off the ground. We provide some resources for people to use in planning their own ADHD Awareness of Weeks events. And, you know, put up the website, those kind of things. So it's more like an organizational planning kind of body. We've got no money, unfortunately, so it's just planning we're doing.
Yeah, well, it's very helpful. Even then, we're following the theme this year that was set by the coalition, that's the Many Faces of ADHD. And you can find out a little bit more about Evelyn and the work that she is doing there at add.org. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
We are CHAD, the nation's leading nonprofit organization serving individuals with or impacted by ADHD. At CHAD, we provide information and help families and professionals to improve the lives of those with ADHD. On November 8th through 10th, CHAD will have its annual conference in San Francisco, California. If you are impacted by ADHD, this is a must-attend event. For details, go to chad.org. Interested in exhibitor and program opportunities? Call Barbara Rose at 240-487-2314.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to ADDCA.com and click on Find a Coach.
Train your brain with Brain Train. ADHD impacts grades, relationships, and the quality of life for your kids. Parents now have a new way to improve the lives of their ADHD child without using meds. Brain Train is designed to exercise your child's mind, to train it to work differently and efficiently. Learn how Brain Train can make a change by training your child's brain. Visit Brain Train at www.brain-train-adhd.com for more information today.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everybody. We've got Evelyn Polk Green on this very special edition of Attention Talk Radio during ADHD Awareness Week. And our title today is The Many Faces of ADHD, but there's only one ink spot that stands out. And I want to stress the stands out part because, Evelyn, you've really been a leader in the ADHD community. And you are a woman of color. And one of the things one of my goals and one of my hopes and dreams of this show is that it reaches out to some other people and inspires other people to kind of step forward so that we have more representation in the leadership out there. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about how ADHD doesn't necessarily discriminate. And when I was talking to Kirsten, I was asking her about access, and she said, well, sometimes they're diagnosed, you know, differently. Kirsten, can you comment, is there equal access for different ethnicities and stuff in this particular situation, or are there bias, or is it any difficult? And after you get done, Evelyn, can you chime in? So, Kirsten, comment?
Sure. I think just based on my experience working in different states and in different you know, settings where services are provided, whether it's the schools or the juvenile justice system or in the you know, just out in the community in the mental health centers, I think certainly there's a lot of bias around paying attention to the symptoms of ADHD and identifying them as such for people who are not, you know, Caucasian or, and of course then those kids get labeled as, you know, being problem kids. I can't tell you how many kids are in the juvenile justice system who are black or Hispanic or Asian who, in my opinion, look, walk, and talk like they have ADHD, but instead they're just being labeled as having a conduct disorder or being bad kids for one reason or another. So they're not getting what they should be getting for services to help them do better.
And Evelyn, what are your thoughts on that? Is do you see the same thing?
Oh, absolutely. I think across the board, first of all, we've got issues of the work that I do with the Children's Network on Mental Health, which is funded by the MacArthur Foundation, is really all about bringing really evidence-based treatments to community settings And one of the issues we have, and, you know, we've been fighting this, I've been doing this for almost 20 years now, and one of the things that has always been an issue is having psychologists and psychiatrists and, you know, other healthcare providers who look like the people that they need to treat. And it's, we've got issues, we've got trust issues in both the African-American and Hispanic communities, and I would imagine in other communities of color around, you know, the healthcare system, how we've been treated in the past. There's just the same thing is kind of with the education system. There's a huge lack of trust. There's the stigma issue that is just compounded in those communities. And so, yes, the access to treatment, there's less access to treatment, and then even where treatment is available, often it's, you know, one of my biggest battles is going into my community and talking about it and letting people know it's okay. And that's one of the reasons that I do it. It's one of the reasons that I think my children have followed in my footsteps, and they're not shy about talking about their ADHD to their friends and colleagues. And I know my son, who's like in his junior year of college this year, went around to, you know, his friends at, when he was in high school, and he had several friends who had been diagnosed as kids but whose parents didn't want the treatment, you know, you're not going to medicate my child and that kind of thing. And really, but they were struggling, and he really convinced them and their parents that you need to look into this. It's a real thing, and it happens to black people too, and made a difference for those kids. But I do believe, and one of the reasons why I have stayed in the fight so long is that I think that people do need to see other people like me, and they need to hear us say that it's real, and it can have a negative impact if we don't deal with it, and this is how we do deal with it, and to just talk about it, and to recognize that there are some cultural context to, just like there are with everything, with how we deal with it and how it's treated and how we're going to handle what happens. But just being able to find folks that understand your culture is huge, and that's a huge barrier to treatment, I think. Well, diagnosis, first of all, and then treatment in our community.
It was interesting. We did a show in June about being ADHD and gay at the same time, and it was an amazing show that I learned an awful lot about it. And we were talking about, you know, do you come out with ADHD and being gay and the differences in the workplace and stuff like that. And one of the things that struck me that just really stood out in that show was the need to kind of come out on both fronts to educate the population. And I look at you as an individual who's come out and advocated on behalf of other populations to get the word out. And it seems to me that is what's really powerful, and that's, I mean, at the end of the day, I would love to see other individuals of color step into leadership or aspire to step into leadership into this community to get the word out to change the trust issues and the stigma issues and the access issues. Can you comment on that, Evelyn?
Yeah, it takes all of us. It takes speaking out and, you know, not being ashamed and not letting the stigma or the fear of, you know, what's going to be said and what's going to, you know, what are the neighbors going to think? What is my mom going to think? I still remember my mother telling me I just didn't beat my kids enough. wasn't ADD. And I think that absolutely, and I don't want to, you know, give the impression that there aren't other people. We have, yes, I was the first African-American woman or person on the CHAD board, but there were people that came after me. And our ADA board now is, I don't even think about it anymore. And actually, when I joined the ADA board, when I started with ADA, there were only Caucasians on the board and in the leadership, and that has changed. And so I think it is changing. I think that more people who have a voice, who feel like they can let their voice be heard, are speaking up and speaking out, but it's still not enough. I don't know that it'll ever be enough. And again, I think this is, you know, it's, I worry about it with ADHD because that's the condition that we deal with in our family and where, you know, my heart is, but I don't think, I think it's across the board in mental health especially, but actually in all kinds of health issues in our communities.
Well, you know, Kirsten, I'm kind of going back. Evelyn, you were on the CHAD board, what was that in, 2007?
No, it was, well, let me think. I was president from 2001 to 2003, so I was on the board a few years before that and through 2004.
Okay. So we dial back in time. It was kind of there. But in the history of ADHD, this is relatively small potatoes, and this is a relatively recent phenomenon. Things are kind of moving along. So we're getting more of that stuff. But, for me today, one of the call to action is if anybody's out there, if the rest of the population, we need to welcome open arms everybody else, but what we're also saying, you know, look at Evelyn as this bright spot and look at what everything that she's done and kind of coming on, so, you know, step forward and kind of be heard. But my sense is that Evelyn, this is all, a lot of the impact has really been recent, the last couple years. Hello?
We lose her?
Evelyn, are you out there?
Oh, I think we've lost Evelyn.
We lost Evelyn. Hopefully she's going to dial back in a second. While we're waiting for that to happen.
In general, I mean, the awareness of ADHD and the awareness of the need for professionals who specialize in ADHD has become more apparent in the last few years, that it's not just the DSM-4 or now 5 criteria that people need to know. You really need professionals who understand it.
Well, I think they need to understand it, and I think that there's a real educational process, because I still every once in a while am running into a mental health professional who still doesn't believe that it exists.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I live in Maine, and there is such a lack of professionals in the state who truly understand what ADHD is. I think I have more clients, and not to say that we don't have any, because we do have some, but the number of clients who eventually find their way to me or to one of my colleagues who knows more about ADHD, who will say, I went to this therapist or this psychiatrist or this counselor or whatever, psychologist, to deal with my ADHD, and they just didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Just tried to boil it down to, you know, that list of 18 symptoms that are in the DSM diagnostic manual and didn't really understand all the nuances of what it can look like, how it can affect people in the relationships, in the community, and in school, and work, as kids and adults. And so they weren't getting a lot of support that they needed. And I have to imagine that if that's happening, you know, in Maine, where God knows, I don't even know what the percentage of minorities is here, it's pretty small. Those people are getting overlooked everywhere.
Yep.
If services aren't available for the general population, the majority, for the minority, it's just got to be horrible trying to find somebody that they can relate to as well as somebody who understands ADHD, really gets it.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I had back in April a couple years ago, we had interviewed a local neurologist here called Dr. Jose Fardada, and it was funny because I went in and he said, you know, it was interesting because he went through med school back in the early 80s, is that ADHD was an elective in the in his relative specialty, and he said, you know, there's not a lot, there's many people that are still trying to get caught up. So as he described, there's a lot of people that are dealing with ADHD today that have, you know, degrees. They're still teaching what they learned back in the 80s with regard to it. And in one of the things that I learned, Kirsten, in the show over the years, whether we're talking to, Dr. Barkley or Russ Ramsey or some of the neuroplasticity, or we're talking to Dr. Ari Tuckman and just the stuff that's kind of going, so much has been changing recently, the education there. It's amazing about how current things have come, and it's really an educational process to bring everybody up to speed with where it is and to break down those stigmas so everybody realizes, hey, listen, we've really come a long way, and you're right on the same board, on the same page.
Absolutely. I have to tell you, I had a woman sitting in my office today who's probably in her late 30s, early 40s, and she's struggling to get through college right now, but she said to me at one point, she said, you know, I wish that I didn't have to take medication, and I wish that my ADHD would just go away.
Mm-hmm.
Even though she's been diagnosed since she was 20, she's been diagnosed for over 20 years, she has not ever worked with any provider who's explained to her what ADHD is, how it affects her, or, you know, why take medication or what she could do instead of taking medication. She had no idea what it meant. She just knew that she felt out of control all the time and was blaming herself for it because she didn't really have an understanding of ADHD.
It's absolutely.
That was just to me.
It just blows you away. And actually, Evelyn, I think we got you back. You hear?
Yes, I'm here. I have no idea what happened.
Yeah, hey,
I suddenly
well,
had a
okay.
dial tone.
It was a great opportunity because we were able to reflect back on just looking at the ADHD community and how far we've come. I mean, as hosts, I've learned so much in the last couple of years by interviewing people, and there's so much more that just – I think if you study ADHD, like in the last 5, 6, or 7 years, it's a huge difference to where we were before that, and we know so much more.
Oh, absolutely.
And before we lost you, I was asking you to kind of comment on that. You know, the whole, you know, the education, deal with stigma, and getting the word out there, and advocating for you know the communities to say, hey, listen, this is really kind of real to kind of come in to help. Overcome stigmas, overcome those trust issues, overcome some of those contextual contexts, and actually begin to motivate and bring some of the people forward from these different communities to join you in leadership.
Yes, and I just think we're getting there. As I said, the Chad board, the ADA board, rather, we now have some amazing people of color on our board who are out there doing things in higher ed, in healthcare, in all kinds of areas, nursing. Who are making a difference, who are seeing it, who are standing up, standing out. And I think the more of that we can do, the more that we get people comfortable with saying it, with comfortable with being okay, that it's okay, then the more it'll change. It's certainly not as bad as it was when I first started this journey, but we still have a really long way to go. And again, I think it only happens when people stand up and speak out about you know their experiences and their journey, and let people know that it's okay. It's kind of like I work in my job with families of young children who have special needs, who oftentimes are just being diagnosed. And the thing that I say to them is, you know, there's no shame in this, and it is what it is, and we all have challenges, and the key is to figure out how to use whatever your strengths are to make those challenges work. And part of that is not being afraid to say what the issues are, to advocate for your child, your family, yourself. And I think that that's the same issues that we have in the ADHD world.
I often say
now that we're, you know, when I started, I was looking more at it from a children's perspective because, again, it was because of my son. And I also say now when I look at adult ADD, I think we're where we were when I started out with my kid with, you know, pediatricians who didn't know anything. And,
and
I think that's kind of where we are in terms of adult ADHD. But I don't know that things have moved much in our communities of color. So I think we just need to get, you know, not be ashamed of it.
Well, that's one of the reasons why we're honored that you're coming to the show, particularly on ADHD Awareness Week, is to heighten this stuff. And so I need to go to break real quick. When we come back, I want to kind of talk a little bit about your motivations and some of the things you've done, because you are a bright spot, and you're really inspiration to the community out there and everything that you've done. And I want to kind of highlight that a little bit. But, again, for everybody out there, if you want to learn more about Evelyn Pohl Green, at least right now, and her role at the Attention Deficit Disorder Association, go to add.org. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
We are CHAD, the nation's leading nonprofit organization serving the community impacted by ADHD. CHAD and Attention Magazine provide science-based information about ADHD to families, professionals, the media, and the general public. Attention is the only publication in which your paid advertising promotes the mission of leadership, advocacy, research, education, and support for the ADHD community. Interested? Advertise in Attention Magazine and CHAD's website at chadd.org or call 240-487-2314.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We have standout, Evelyn Polk Green, and we're talking about the many faces of ADHD. Evelyn, you really do stand out. You have been in leadership at CHADD, leadership of ADDA. You're advocating still in the Chicago school system. You are support in the background to move forward on really the Senate resolution that brought about ADHD Awareness Week. All this is really kind of amazing stuff. Where did it all come from? What within you was enabled you to do this?
Mostly it's because I have ADD.
Well, no, honestly, that's you couldn't pay attention long enough to accomplish all this, right?
Well, you know, honestly, that's where I actually ended up, you know, getting started working with ADDA because Michelle Novotny called me. She knew that my presidential term was over, and I had mentioned her a little bit before she started, and she said, "I know you're bored. I know you're not going to admit it, but I know you're bored." And she was right, and that's how they got me pulled in ADDA. And so, you know, a lot of it has been just because, I don't want to say just because I need something to do, because it's more than that, but it has been partly because my ADHD compels me to do stuff. And I think that's part of it. The other part of it is I do see a civil rights issue here in some ways, a real issue of fairness and kids and adults and people not getting what they need to be successful when it's so simple for them to be able to with just the right tools, with some knowledge, and it's not right and it's not fair. And I know that, you know, with my own, I guess part of it is I look at my own kids and I know how fortunate we are that their ADHD was diagnosed, that we were able, that we had the wherewithal, the means, the financial means, to be able to help them and to get them the things that they needed so they could be successful. And I think that every child and every family deserves that. So that's part of the reason why I continue to do this. And I've just seen so many lives that could be, you know, just who have so much to contribute to the world, who don't get an opportunity to because their ADHD is not diagnosed or it's not being treated properly or they're not, with just a few simple solutions, they could rule the world. So.
Well, you know, Kirsten, it's interesting because I'm listening to her and I think about, okay, if you're out there and you want to have a voice and you really want to make a difference, you can start to look in some of these areas that you can really have an impact. And, you know, Evelyn has kind of paved the way a little bit. It seems to me that this is a great opportunity for the Caucasian community out there to reach out to say, hey, listen, we need more people of color and other ethnicities to kind of come on board. But if you're out there, you actually, there's a little bit of a road. Evelyn has pioneered that stuff, but you can really kind of go out there and make a voice. Would you agree, Kirsten?
Absolutely, I would agree. And I think that, you know, Caucasian or whatever we are, we need to be supporting and encouraging our minority students in the school systems and in the college programs and adults who are looking for their second careers, that if this is something that impacts them or that they understand and have a passion for, go and get the education, whether it's being a coach or a psychologist or a counselor or a career counselor, whatever, that you can help be an advocate and help those individuals and families get the services that they need. I have to say, Evelyn, I've been holding on and waiting to interject. You and Rudy Rodriguez have done a wonderful job of putting out all this information for ADHD Awareness Week for a lot of the professional and coaching communities that's online. And I hope that you had a huge response to that because the materials have been great. You've provided structure and ideas and, you know, feedback all over the place on this. And I'm encouraged to see how many different programs are happening across this country right now in the next couple of weeks for this show. The week of ADHD Awareness Week. So I want to thank you for that. It's been wonderful.
Well, thank you. But you know what? I have to thank our team, and especially Zandra Moffitt, who has been our lead on ADHD Awareness Week. And she really put so much of that together and got the – but it looks great. I'm impressed with it, too. So thank you. We just want people to use it.
Well, we encourage everybody to go out there, and all you have to do is Google ADHD Awareness Week, and there's a whole bunch of information. They're doing a great job coordinating this stuff, and it really is great. And I gotta think it's got to be very satisfying for you to be part of the team to actually kind of pull this off and see it reoccur every year and grow as it has.
It is. It is. I have to say that this is one of the things that makes it worth doing this over and over again and seeing the difference and seeing the kind of activities that take place and how involved people get and the difference that it makes in people's lives when they, you know, get it or when somebody gets them and
yep.
they, you know, realize they're not alone. I think that's the biggest thing for a lot of us with ADHD, whether it's as, you know, a parent recognizing that we're not the only one with these struggles or whether it's as an adult, you know, recognizing that, you know, we're not the only ones with it, because it's such an isolating disorder until you make those connections. And I think that's really what Awareness Week is all about. That's a huge part of what it's about for me, is to helping people make those connections and recognizing that they're not alone and getting the help and the support that they need.
Absolutely. Kirsten, any last questions before we turn it over to Evelyn for last comments and wrap it up?
No, I just want to thank Evelyn again. I've actually got 4 events happening for ADHD Awareness Week this week that I've coordinated simply because I was encouraged by all of the support that was happening by Evelyn and her team and everybody else online. So I hope wherever our listeners are that they are looking around online and finding an event or a program that's happening near them so that they can connect with people.
And Evelyn, I'd like to thank you too for being who you are, to come out to take leadership and kind of pave the way and pull the stuff together. There's a lot of really good things that you have done, and you know, as things go on, I know you're going to continue to do more great things. With that said, you got any last comments or any words of wisdom for our listeners out there?
Well, other than to just, you know, what I always tell people is keep fighting the good fight. You know, talk to people about ADHD, get folks involved. I met some wonderful people at that ACO conference who were talking about how they were going to, you know, they had clients that they wanted to get involved now that they, you know, I hadn't thought about the need to do that. And I've heard from a few of them, and they've actually done it, and it's worked. And so I just want to encourage people to advocate as much as you can to help reduce the stigma, to just make people aware of what ADD is and what it's not. I think that's one of our biggest issues, is people just don't really even know what it really is and how it affects folks. So the more we can get out there and talk about it and do it, and the more we can get communities of color involved, then the better off we'll be.
And, you know, that's Attention Talk Radio is really about that. We're providing free information with regard to ADHD from experts like yourself across the board, from other doctors, coaches, therapists, and other related fields, just to create a rising tide, to lift off all boats, to create some awareness that's coming out there. And again, Evelyn, you're truly, you stand out among the ADHD community. We're honored that you came on the show. We're honored that you were on last year, but we're honored this year because the theme really made a lot of sense, the many faces of ADHD. You do stand out, and thank you so much for you do. You're truly an ADHD community asset. So thanks for everything you do.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Our pleasure. Again, everybody, if you'd like to learn more about Evelyn and what she's doing right now, to go to add.org. And Kirsten, as always, thanks for joining me. Everybody, we hope you've enjoyed this edition of Attention Talk Radio. It's the middle of ADHD Awareness Week. Go online. There's lots more stuff going on. Check it out through the end of the week, and we'll catch you next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.